Well, hi there. This is a sojourner speaking to you from the Alpha House, United States of America. In this time together, we're going to be thinking along the lines of expectation. What do you expect? But first, I want to welcome those of you who are listening at the various places around the world that come onto the site and download these messages and listen to them, and perhaps some of you who are using them for your own home meetings as teaching in meetings in your home. We're always glad to know that we can have some part in your worship and your growth in the Lord. So we're glad that you worship the Lord, and we're glad to help you grow in Him. So expectation, as I said, is what we're going to be thinking on right now. And our scripture is from the book of Numbers, chapter 13, verses 26 through 33. Now, what's happening here is they're at a place called Kadesh, or Kadesh Barnea, in the desert outside of Canaan, and they have sent spies into the land of Canaan in preparation for fulfilling God's promise that they could have this land. And so the spies have just come back, and they're reporting. So starting in verse 26, it says, "They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Ammonites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan." Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. They spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." Well, interesting conflict and expectation here. You see, God had told them that they could have this land. And they went in to see it, and they said, "Oh, it's everything that we knew it was from what God had told us," basically. But then they expected disaster, even after God had told them they could have this. Well, let's look at what does expectation mean? Expectation, one of the definitions, is a belief about or a mental picture of the future. Well, what kind of belief about or mental picture of the future do you think that these people had who were going around? 10 of the 12 who had gone in to spy out the land, saying the things that they were saying. Another definition of expectation is anticipation. Anticipating with confidence of fulfillment. Well, now they had a little problem there in that anticipation, because their anticipation was that they would be destroyed. And God had told them the anticipation should be the exact opposite, and they should have confidence of the fulfillment of His promise. Another definition of expectation is the feeling that something is about to happen. So you just get that feeling, or you expect something is about to happen. Well, they had that feeling. They had the feeling that something terrible was going to happen any minute if they went there. Now, in arithmetic, there's another definition. In arithmetic, mean the sum of the values of a random variable divided by the numbers of values. Well, now, what does that mean? Well, it means that you can expect certain things if certain things are done according to an arithmetic formula. Well, you can expect things according to God's formulas just as well. So now let's go back into that desert place. The word Kadesh actually does mean a sanctuary place in the desert. Well, this is where they had been. Remember, the children of Israel had been wandering around in the wilderness now for 40 years. And they were about to be able to do this or that, or they were out in the wilderness. They hadn't wandered around for 40 years, but they were out in the wilderness. They had gotten to be able to go to Cana, but then they didn't want to go in because of fear. The spies Moses had sent in to spy out the land of Cana gave their report. Cana was the land God had promised and given them. Their report was they had found it to be all they had been told. I will tell you, my friends, many times in your life you're going to be at Kadesh in a desert in your life. So listen carefully to what I'm about to be telling you. Because these people didn't do it. They ended up wandering in the wilderness, as I was saying. They ended up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Until a whole generation died off. And the interesting thing is, the spies even brought back evidence. And the scripture says, and showed them the fruit of the land. It is interesting to note that the scripture says, they gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here's the fruit. What was being said was the spies' accounting, you see. This is the spies' accounting of where they had been. They gave what they saw as a positive side, first of all. They told the positive part. That's the part that they reported first. And many people today are like that, really. They're like that. They will go in, they'll do something, but they'll give the positive report, and then you start hearing the yes buts. Well, that would be nice, yes but. Oh, we could do that, but. This is what we're seeing here. We're seeing a part of human nature when it's not operating in faith with the promises of God. It's, oh, yes, that's wonderful, yes, but. In a way, what they were saying is, all is well with this, but. You know, I knew a person that I heard lots of times, they would say, in a sentence, it's only what is said after the word but that counts. So they told of the wonders they had seen, and then 10 of the 12 spies began to account for how difficult life would be to take possession of what had been promised them by God. But the people, the scripture says, but the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. How many times have I sat with young couples, different people, individuals and couples who wanted to do something really, really great? They wanted to take advantage of a tremendous opportunity they had. But then they said, but it would be hard work. These would be some of the difficulties. And they started looking at the difficulties and then didn't do it. And they spent their whole life following yes, but part of the sentence rather than the promise of God part of the sentence for their life. You see, God has promised us as believers in Christ that we are the seed of Abraham, that we have all the blessings that Abraham was given by God. So in a sense, many people spend their life there at Kadesh Barnea, looking into the promised land, but never entering in, because of fear that maybe everything won't work out perfectly. Well, at the same time, the people that I have read of and known who have been successful at things are people who failed many times before they succeeded. People who had driven themselves into bankruptcy trying to accomplish something, and then suddenly one day it happened. Didn't feel suddenly to them. Other people say, oh, it was just sudden. I saw a man on a talk show one time on a late night television show who was being interviewed. And the interviewer, the person whose show he was on, the host, said to him, well, you've just become an overnight sensation. And the man looked the interviewer right in the eye and he said, overnight, I've been waiting tables, scrubbing floors, doing all sorts of things in this town so that 15 years later I became an overnight sensation. He said, I put 15 hard years into getting to where I am. You see, but most people would go, oh, we might have to put 15 hard years in to be successful, so they back off. They say, oh, well, we would serve the Lord, but we have this to take care of or that to take care of. We need to be more cautious. We don't know how we would live financially if we went out to serve the Lord. There's lots of problems with it, you know, they would say. Ignoring the very call or the very instructions from God. They would say, well, all's well, that's a good idea, but just like many today, they would take whatever would be given, but they're not willing to place themselves at a perceived risk to get it, to gain it, or to do or to follow what they have been told to do. This report must have been quite frightening to most of those gathered there in this time, in this scene that we see in our scripture. Can you imagine the commotion as the people began to speculate among themselves just concerning the challenge it would be to take the land God had given them in a promise? Just think of that. How challenging it might be. Oh, well, this might be difficult. How many people have wanted something and then decided, oh, no. I can remember when I was in high school, there would be boys who would want to get to know some girl, but they were afraid to ask her because they were afraid of rejection. People who wanted really good jobs, but they wouldn't go apply for them because they were just sure they wouldn't get them. And then the person who got them, they'd say, well, I'm more capable than that person. But that person went, you see, and followed through. They didn't. They had a life full of, yes, but, I could have done that, but, and it just doesn't happen. Again, remember, we're in the promises of Abraham. We are supposed to be expecting honor and favor. We're supposed to be not expecting honor and favor from each other, but from people everywhere, that they will want to bless us, because in blessing us, like with Abraham, they bring a blessing on themselves. But in bringing a curse or trying to curse us, they would bring a curse on themselves, and they wouldn't want to do that. That's how we're supposed to be living. We're not supposed to be living as though disaster is going to hit us any minute. We're supposed to be living as though favor and prosperity and health are going to be ours any minute, even greater than they are now. You know, many people in the United States is one of the few countries in the world where you can live and have two or three televisions, a microwave or refrigerator, one or two cars, own a home, and talk about all you don't have. One of the saddest things about the holiday of Thanksgiving is that people aren't even thankful for what they do have. I was amazed this week, because this recording is being made in 2009. I read the proclamation of the President of the United States this week. The President of the United States didn't mention God once in his proclamation. He did have a quote from the first President of the United States that mentioned God, but the current President did not mention God. Not only did he not mention God, But he said that we needed to be thankful. And I'm going, well, yes, that's absolutely right. So we need to thank our soldiers. We need to thank the people in our community. There was no thankfulness to God. It was all to our fellow man. Thanksgiving is to God. Not that we shouldn't be thankful for other people, but thanksgiving is to God. I was struck by that, just amazed by that. You see, a person who is not thankful is a person who is also not expecting good. Because how could you expect good if with all you have, you think you have nothing? Why would you expect anything good? If you think your whole history of that, you know, I hear people say, oh, I have to wash my car, and I'm thinking, how many people in the world would like to say, I get to wash a car because I actually have one? I've heard people say, I have to clean out my refrigerator rather than I have a refrigerator for which I'm so thankful, and I'm thankful that I can keep it cleaned out. Expectation. What do we expect in life? And once expectations have been made, are we even thankful for having received that which we were finally willing to expect? But most people that I run into on a daily basis will not even pursue a promised land that God has promised them. You see, we all as believers have a promised land that God has promised us. But it's the pursuit of that because of yes, but. Now, you know, Caleb had a strong heart. He had a strong heart for God. That's what a true strong heart is a heart that is strong for God. Caleb wasted no time in fear and trembling, but silenced the people and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. How many of you listening to my voice have ever heard anybody say, I'm not going to start a new business. I could certainly do it and be successful, but I'm just not going to do it. How many people do you know who get up in the morning and say, I could be very successful today, but I'm going to stay in bed anyway? It's a strange, strange thing that happens in people's minds. Very strange. What do you expect when you open your eyes every morning? Caleb said we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Those who were faint of heart were concerned about the giants in the land and the strength of the men who lived there. You see, like a deadly virus, they spread among the Israelites, the scripture says, a bad report of the land they had explored. They actually brought back evidence that it was all there, and they still, with the evidence in hand, spread a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there were of great size. Now, I understand that the descendants of Anak would have been giants, or considered giants. But think of this. Even with evidence to the contrary, they still said, we will not follow the instructions of our God. Which then brings up the question, who really was their God? This God, Jehovah, who had promised them all of this, was to be ignored to follow their own thinking. These 10 spies of the 12, willing to disregard the promise of God and put themselves up as their own God, little g there, by allowing their self-perception to reign rather than the God of Abraham and all creation to reign in their life. They let their own ideas, their own thinking, their self-perception, because what is the person really saying? Oh, yes, I could do it, but I'm not going to. And they don't succeed, and they don't succeed, and they don't succeed, and their situation doesn't get better, and it doesn't get better, simply because they're afraid to succeed. They're afraid to step out. They're afraid to say, these are the promises of God to me. Because they would rather be their own God than let the one true God be their God. Anytime you or I choose to do something that is contrary to the one true God, we have said that we are bigger than the one true God. Because that's where the greater influence is. That is so sad. And it was so sad for the children of Israel because this is going to result in 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years with a steady diet of manna, provided by God, a wonderful thing. But most people like a little more variety in their food than the same thing every day for 40 years. And they could have been eating in a land full of milk and honey. And for 40 years they were in the wilderness eating manna that God provided to them. He kept His word to them, even though they did not keep their word to Him. Do you realize that was a form of prosperity? If you've ever been in a desert, you would know to have food fall out of the sky every night would be a form of prosperity in a desert. But it's not the prosperity that God wanted for them. Understand, most people, most believers in Christ, live in a shadow of the prosperity that God desires for them. Only because of their lack of expectation from Him and their low self-image of expectation of themselves. That's what happens. They said, we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. What's that saying there? They saw themselves as nothing. They saw themselves as weak. They saw themselves as incapable. They saw themselves as people who could not expect God to love them enough to carry out His word for them. That's a sad state of events. Sad state of affairs. And then listen to what they said next. They said, and we seemed the same to them. Well, I doubt seriously if while they were spying out the land, all the people in the land said to them, boy, you all look like little grasshoppers. We could just squash you. They didn't know who they were. They didn't know why they were there. But they then, making themselves feel good, say, other people perceive me the same way I perceived me. I find that that's not true. Many times I spend a great deal of time, sometimes every week, trying to convince people who they are and the abilities they have in Christ. And they will continually say to me, yes, but, yes, but, yes, but. Very sad. Who do you think it is would want to assure that you felt that way about yourself? I can only think of one, and that would be the adversary Satan. Who would never want you or anybody to come into the fullness of what God meant for them. Because should that happen, it will harm him. And he's the God of this world. But Christians, we're in this world. Believers, we're in this world, but we are not of this world. The children of Israel, Israel means those who prevail with God. Now listen to this. Those who prevail with God are wimping out about going in and possessing what God said was theirs. How sad that we would have such low expectations sometimes, even today. You see, I was saying to some people the other day that we have, certainly in America and many of the developed nations, we have cellular telephones. We have all kinds of communication devices. We have the internet. We have microwaves and refrigerators and cars and good quality roofs over our heads. And we really have not progressed. We think that is progress. Oh, it is, to be sure. But if you think about it, if we're still as afraid as they were in the desert, how far have we progressed inside our own minds, our own thinkings, our own understandings of God? How much progress has really been made in that? What's your expectation? What do you expect? What do you expect for the rest of the year right now? In less than 6 weeks or so, there'll be a new year. What do you expect out of the rest of this year? What did you expect out of this year when this year started? Has it been what you thought it would be? Has it been what you expected? How many times this year have you said yes but to yourself? Yes, I know God loves me, but. I know God wants me to succeed and be blessed, but. How many times this year? What do you think would happen if just in the short few weeks left in this year remaining, you developed an idea of expectation? You know, we're coming up to Christmas right now. That's a time of great expectation for people. Well, let me challenge you in the remainder of this year to expect that same Jesus who came so long ago, who now has fulfilled everything he was sent to do and sits at the right hand of the Father. What would happen if you expected just in the next few weeks everything that he told you? You see, you have a promised land if you're a believer in Christ. Just as much as the children of Israel had a promised land in front of them at Kadesh Barnea. Every decision you make concerning your future, I want you to remember Kadesh Barnea. Because that's where you are. Every time you're tempted to say, yes, but. I could do this, but. The difference between people who don't ever do it, who don't ever accomplish, who don't ever walk in the promises of God, is they say, yes, but, where the person who steps into that says, okay, this may be a challenge here, this may be a challenge here. How do I work past this challenge first? I know a person who had an opportunity to go into a really, really good business for just a small amount of money, just a few thousand dollars. And they said to me, but I don't have the few thousand dollars. Never seeing, okay, then my first goal ought to be to come up with a few thousand dollars. It's just like, I don't have it in my hand right now. Now, if you handed it to me, you know, basically the attitude was, you hand it to me and then I'll do it. How are they going to, they wouldn't succeed in that business, because if you can't even succeed in coming up with what it takes to do it, how are you going to succeed at the doing of it? If you can't even expect and trust God to provide what you need to do it, how would you ever follow God in the doing of it? It's all what you expect. Because expectation of God fulfilling His promise, my friends, is called faith. And lack of expectation is called, of God fulfilling His promises, is called fear. And fear is false evidence appearing real. And that's exactly what these people were talking about here. False evidence. They had evidence of everything that God said, and they still were saying yes, but. When God's Word is paramount in all things to a person or to a people, victory is certain. Let me say that again. When God's Word is paramount in all things to a person or to a people, victory is certain. Self-centered is defeat. God-centered is victory. And that's my message for this session. Now, if you've backed off from God and you realized as you were listening to my voice that, gee, maybe I haven't done much but say yes but to all the promises and all the things that God has said, now's a good time to repent of that. Now's a time to just quietly tell our Heavenly Father that you're sorry. Get a picture of what's not happening in the kingdom because you've said yes, but. And you're in the kingdom, so if it's not happening for you, it's not happening in a part of the kingdom. So just go to Him and say you're sorry. If you've never accepted Christ, if you've never asked Christ to come into your heart, this is a good time to do it. Ask Him. Say, I want to be the seed of Abraham. I want to be one of the sons of God. I want to be a child of the God Most High. And I want to be a part of His kingdom and all the promises in it. Pray that prayer right now. Just go and ask Him. In Jesus' name, just ask Him. Now, if you've done that, and you need some help in the doing of more, if you want to learn more, then go on our site. Go through many of the messages that are there. We have years worth of them there. Or contact me, the Sojourner, at sojournershub.org. And I'll be glad to be of help to you. Other Sojourners will be glad to be of help to you. So now then, with this blessing, we'll conclude this time together. The blessings of our Lord on you and all that is yours, by blood, adoption, or assignment, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.